Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you so much for your grace and your truth. I thank you, God, that we can come to a place here today, look to you and see you, draw us to you, Father God, learn more about you and experience you in a relationship. God, I know that this season, we're welcoming back college students into town, as well as a new season's about to begin with school starting. For a lot of kids, all the way from kindergarten and elementary and middle school, high school, and a lot of stages of life, Father, that it can be a scary time, an exciting time, and an amazing time at the same time. And God, I pray that you'd encourage us in this process to be there for each other and encourage each other. God, we thank you for who you are, and we can seek you and know you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So for me, I had a opportunity a few years back to spend time with my grandmother, who at the time was 94. Currently, right now, she's 97. And I was thinking to myself the other day, I was like, man, if she makes it to 100, it really might be one of the coolest days ever to be able to go spend a day with my grandmother on 100. Birthday, you know, smash all the cake with the candles. It'd be awesome, you know. But so for me, I'm thinking that might be really cool. But I had a chance to sit down with her a few years back, and I really wanted just to hear from her what her life was like as a child. Now, she grew up through the 1920s as a child, and for me to hear kind of what she was like, she lived on a farm in a more rural area, and so she talked about how when the mornings, they would wake up when the sun comes up, they do their chores and do the things they needed to do, and they would go to bed when the sun went down at night. They didn't have telephones, and they didn't have TV and radio and any kind of communication like that at all. They had each other. In fact, her father would take the horse and a cart, and oftentimes he'd buy, sell, and trade things based upon what they had, and he'd go in and spend the day there with some friends and play checkers and talk to people and hang out, and as kind of was their day. And then, of course, they would come home, and after dinner, they would sit around together and talk about what they did during the day and kind of what they're expecting the next day, and their life and their relationships were around that. Boy, it's very different today, isn't it? Today, it's so different. I mean, for us, we can go through a day and talk to 100, 200, 300 more people because of social media. You know, we spend so much of our times connecting with our friends through texting or Facebook comments or likes or tweets or telegrams. I mean, Instagrams or snaps or whatever. You know, how we communicate social media, it becomes this place where we're connecting with people, and it's through the phone. And you know, we have our phone. Sometimes today we walk in the room, our phone's not just a device to call people anymore. It is a community of people that we have and we walk with us and we share life with, and it's a very different world today. And so for us, no matter how your relationships are in that way, for us oftentimes we all do still long for those few deep relationships though. Those relationships you can talk to with people about anything. And so that's something we do long for. And today we're gonna really spend some time talking about our friends and how the thing about our friends is they can impact our life in so many ways. And with that, you know, I recently heard a speaker say this. I heard a guy by the name of Mark Mello, he made the comment, he said, "Show me your friends and I will show you your future." You see, he would go around and talk to students and he would spend time encouraging them about the choices they'd make and the friends they had and things like that. And his story was one where he would really dig into the hearts and lives of people. As well as the story is one of heartache and pain because he was going in the wrong direction and went in the wrong direction. You know, in fact, he made a statement. He said, "I hung out with a bunch of losers and I became the biggest loser of them all." But there is some truth in that. There's truth in the fact that the people we spend the most time with do directly shape us what our future looks like. And it does do that. In fact, I've heard people use this quote before too. It says, "Show me the five people who you are the closest to, and I'll show you who you will be in 5 years." Another way I heard it is, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, or also, you are who you hang with. And the idea is that that's typically very true of us. And I'd like for us just to take a minute and think about who are those five closest people in our lives. And so if you have a pen or write it, you might want to write this down. If you don't, just kind of think it through in your head. But the idea is I want you to just take just a moment and think to yourself, who are the five people that you feel you would talk about with important matters with, that you would feel are your close friends? Just think through that for just a minute. Because really, as you look at that, you know, there's good and bad character traits of the friends we have that we can oftentimes develop and take. Now, I know for some of us, we think to ourselves, well, the truth of it is that I'm not really exactly like these five people. I mean, I'm a little different. And as maybe some of you are thinking, well, I'm just like them and maybe I need to do something. Or some of you are like, I'm nothing like them. But the idea is that most of the time, this is true. And for us, as we begin to think about it, there are ways we can shift that balance a little bit. I had a friend of mine that he used to always tell his teenage daughters that you could either be a thermostat or a thermometer. An idea of that is simply this. A thermometer is something that you have either inside or outside that lets you know the temperature of the room is there. It has no bearing or effect on anything except it lets you know it reflects what the room's temperature is. A thermostat, however, knows what the temperature is and then you can set it to change the temperature in a room. You can set it to change whether hot or cold or whatever you want that temperature to be. And so he would challenge his teenage girls. He would say, what I want you to do is when you're around your friends, you can either be a thermometer or a thermostat. You can be somebody who shapes and is the one who drives the direction of your friendships and how you live your life, or you can be somebody who just reflects what your friends are. And for that, I think there's a lot of truth in that. For me, I think a lot of times in my life, I've been a thermostat, and sometimes I've been a thermometer, and it's depending on the circumstances I've been in. But if that's us, then we realize that the truth of it is we can also shape our friends' future as well as our friends can help shape our future. Ainley Stanley had this quote. He said this. He says, your friends will always determine the quality and direction of your life. He said, your friends will always determine the quality and direction of your life. If this is true, then we really need to be sitting down thinking about who our friends are. We need to think about who are the people that are closest to us in our life, because if this is true, if they're gonna shape the direction and quality of our life, if you wanna know what our future looks like, look at our friends, then maybe we should really be spending some time figuring out who those friends are. This week is the last week in the Wise Guys series, and we've been spending a lot of time looking at the book of Proverbs and Solomon and the wisdom that comes from that. And the idea here is that we want to begin to look at all the ways that we can improve our relationships with others and with God and the wisdom we can gain to help make the wise choices in our life. Last week, we focused on what we say can either promote love or it can separate friends. The idea of gossip or slander and how that can hurt people. And the idea that we need to make sure that we're talking to the right people about the right things and in the right way. And this week, we're gonna be talking about our friendships and how that affects us. And our main takeaway today that we're gonna look at is this. It says, if we have the right friends, we'll head in the right direction. So if we have the right friends, then we're gonna move ourselves in that right direction. But if we have the wrong friends, then oftentimes our life will not turn out the way we expect. There's gonna be some obstacles. There's gonna be some things that happen. Some life is gonna get a little messier than we thought. Doesn't mean life's not gonna be messy, by the way. If you haven't known, life is hard no matter what we try to do. Life is tough. But we can affect that to a degree by the friends we choose and the people we put around us. Key verse for us to look at here is Proverbs 13:20. It says, the one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. So Solomon here is really pointing out, he simply puts, if you hang around the right people, if you put yourself around wise people, then you have a great chance to become wise yourself. But if you put yourself around fools, then you're gonna suffer harm. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, all right, I don't really hang out with fools. And I think the truth is our definition of what a fool is. It's not just a silly and awkward people who walk around and do weird things. You know, that was me in high school. So, of course, that's not all it is. A fool actually is a little different. And so I wanted to think, what is it that Solomon, what is it that the Bible says is a fool? So I went to gotquestions.org and they had this to say. It says, a fool lacks wisdom, has no concern for others, does not desire to avoid sin, and brags about a sinful action. The scripture is clear, we are to avoid living as a fool. Rather, we are to fear the Lord, walk in his wisdom, and follow his ways. Now, the very first week of the series, Wise Guy, we find Tim spent some time talking about the fear of the Lord. It's a great foundation for all of this series and all that we learned this summer. If you hadn't had a chance yet to listen to the first one in this series, I encourage you to go back and watch that online or listen to it and hear what he talks about the fear of the Lord, because that's the foundation to gaining the wisdom and applying the wisdom to your life. And I think it's a great opportunity to do that. And that's kind of what a fool aspect is. You know, the thing is we don't necessarily, and say, hey, I want to hang out with fools. We're not intentionally doing that. Sometimes we do. But the idea is that I think foolish people are a lot more than just kind of stupid people, silly people, right? And because of that, we need to realize that foolish people are people who focus on themselves. What they do is they put so much emphasis on their way and wanting to do things their way that they don't have a regard for other people. They don't have concern for other people and how that, the way that they do things, the decisions they make and how they live, how it actually affects someone else. And so the idea of a fool here is someone who says, I'm gonna do things my way that's best for me no matter how it impacts anybody else. And for us, we need to make it a point not to be the center of our life. You know, we look at God's word, we look at Proverbs, we look at the Bible, we see that for us, it's important for us to put loving God and loving others at the center of a life. When we put ourselves at the center of our lives, it's very difficult to love God and it's difficult to love others. In Proverbs chapter 28, it says, the one who trusts in himself is a fool, but one who walks in wisdom will be safe. I think the times we fall into this category of being a fool is when we kind of do things on our own. We want control and so we make decisions based on what's gonna make us happy. And we don't think about how it affects our family. We don't think about how it affects our parents or how it affects our kids or how it affects our husband or wife or friends or people we live with or the people we work with. We don't think about those things. You see, we can become foolish in trying to make our lives better that we forget that maybe we're not helping others and making a difference. And in turn, oftentimes that affects our life in such a negative way. So when we trust in ourselves, we're actually removing wisdom from our decisions. Sure, you know, we think of wise things, we do wise things, we come up with some things every now and then, hey, that was pretty smart. We get that. But the idea is that if we're choosing to make decisions based upon our own personal happiness over other people, then we end up oftentimes hurting ourselves. We need to have the right friends to really help shape our direction, to shape our future. Craig Groeschel, pastor of Life Church, he said this. He said, it's very difficult to live the right way if you don't have the right friends. It's difficult to live the right way if you don't have the right friends. And I think for us, there's really three key steps I wanna kind of go over today as we walk through this on how we can begin to put the right friends in our path and begin to move in the right direction. I know for us, this kind of season is a really good time to be talking about this because for us, I mean, if you're in college and you're stepping in, usually there's about a 3-week window where you come in and everybody wants to talk to everybody. You can stand in line anywhere and be around anywhere and people are willing to meet people. But then after that, once you kind of get your friend groups and you form your patterns, you form your routines, all of a sudden you're okay and you're not as likely to want to talk to the people around you. Well, guess what? The same thing happens when you go into elementary school or middle school or high school. There's kind of this window, you know, where people are more open this first few days, first week to talk to people. And so for us, I know as parents, it's one of the things that we have on our minds. You want to make sure, you know, one of the first questions you ask your son or daughter when they get home from school is, did you meet anybody? Do you have any friends? Do you know anybody? I mean, that's kind of, we want to know that. Not, hey, did you, you know, we do want to know how the classes go, but really it's a lot about those connections. Because friendships drive so much of our lives. It drives who we are so much. And I think deep down we know that. But here's the thing. I think for us, and the first thing I want to get to here, is that we really need to evaluate our friendships. Because I don't know that we stop all the time to think, who are the closest people in our lives that are driving us, that are moving us in the direction we're heading? Do we sit down and really think about who are those people that are influencing us the most? And for us to really sit down and evaluate who they are. Earlier, that's one of the reasons why I asked you to take just a moment and to think, who are the 5 closest people to you? As you begin to think about that, you think, oh, okay, now how are they influencing your life? Jenna Briner, she's a managing editor of Live Science magazine, wrote an article about people and friendships. And she was talking about different participants were asked whether they their friendships and if how many friends, they wanted them to write down the names of friends, kind of like I did with you, of the people that they would talk about important matters with. And they did that, say, oh, who are those people of the last 6 months? And for her, she began to ask this question and they did this survey and found out that about 48% of the participants listed just one name. That's all they could list. 18% just only could list 2 people that they would talk about important matters. And roughly 29% listed more than 2 names for these close friends. In fact, on average, we see here that participants had 2.03 confidants, or people that they were close to, people that they could talk to about important matters, and just over 4% of participants didn't list any names at all. Now, I don't know where you are on that. The great thing about this is that whether you list none, one, two, three, five names, we all can start today to begin to make that next step to begin putting the people around us that can shape us and encourage us. And I know that's a longing that we all have, to have people that can move us in the right direction. So for us, we need to be evaluating. We need to be evaluating who our friends are and thinking about that. That actually, and along with that, for us, we need to figure out, why do we have the friends that we have? I think that brings us to the second key thing we want to be doing, and that is this. We need to know the purpose of our friends. Why do you have the friends that you have? Why are those the people that you choose to be around? And I really think there are really three key areas that we look for friends in our life. And those three areas, the first one is social. That is, social is really that there's just a need. We attract around people that connect with us. I mean, there's a good portion of us that we want to hang around people because they like to do what we like to do. Or they like what we like. I mean, for you, isn't it easy when you go talking to someone, all of a sudden you know, hey, they like the same sports team you like, you know? Yeah, you know, that makes you, oh, I connect with you automatically. I can talk to you for hours about sports now. It's great. And all of a sudden they don't like the team, they're an enemy, and that's like, okay, we're either going to stop the conversation right now, or we're going to, maybe we'll at least have at least some competition we can talk about. But the idea is we connect with people socially based upon our likes, dislikes, what we like to do, what we enjoy. And that could be a good thing, but the question is, is that all that our friendships have for us? Is that all that we're driving? Is that all we want? And if that's the case, maybe we're missing something. The second area is emotional. There's a lot of emotional needs that we have. Now, in fact, we live in a society today where social media has taken such a strong influence on our identity that oftentimes our emotional identity is tied in with how many likes or comments we get on whatever post we put out there. And we can have a really good day if we get enough likes or comments, or a really bad day if we don't. And so for us, our emotional health can oftentimes be tied in to those kind of things. And so for us, if we put ourselves around the right people we think that can make us feel good about ourselves, then that can drive where we are and drive what we want to have in our lives. Now, there's a problem with that, but one of the things is, whatever season you're going through right now, maybe you're going through a season in your own life right now where you're going through some hurts. Maybe you have some unforgiveness or anger or resentment towards some people or someone. Maybe you're dealing with some things and you're just going through that tough season. And what you really need are some friends that can walk alongside of you and help you with that. Maybe you don't have that, and that's part of the problem. I want to encourage you, if that's you and you're kind of in that season of I need some things to work through in my own life, I want to let you know we have something here called Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery meets at 6:30 on Monday nights. In fact, if you come in this park in this small parking lot, come in this door around 6:25 to 6:30, that range, there'll be somebody there waiting for you that can walk in and show you exactly where to go. We'll connect you with a large group that will kind of meet and hear some good things to encourage us. And then you have a chance to meet in a small group of people that are going through what you're going through, that have either gone through it or been through it. They're either in the process of, they're experiencing healing from the hurts and habits and hangups in their life, and they're there to encourage you, or they're going through to the same place you are. It's a good opportunity to be a part of that. So if you're feeling some of those things, that's a great first step for you to connect with people to help you walk through your life. But if all we do is social, all we do is emotional, I think we're missing really the heart of what I think God has for us. And so the third area, which I think is the most important of all of them, is the spiritual area. Now, the spiritual area, the truth of it is, for me, someone, because I place my faith and trust in Jesus as my way to be accepted by God. My trust is that Christ has died on the cross. He's the reason why I can be restored to God, because God is a holy God, and my sin has separated me from him. And so I have a relationship with Jesus. And because I have a relationship with Jesus, the driving force of all of my relationships are moving towards people that one, either I can help be a part of encouraging in their relationship with God, or they can be a part of encouraging my relationship with God. That matters to me a whole lot. And for you in here, if you're sitting here today and you're still considering whether you want to take that step and that relationship with Jesus, and you have questions, then I would love to encourage you to check out Starting Point. It's a great place where you can have conversations about your faith and a no judgment environment. It's a small group that meets, that walks through that. But also, talk to somebody. Ask somebody, hey, I just want to make sure I know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus so I can have eternal life forever with God. If that's the case, talk to somebody about that. But also for us, the great thing about spiritual connections with close friends is that if you have a group of people that you connect with spiritually, that helps you grow spiritually, then it actually helps all three of these areas. It helps you socially, because now your social connections are even deeper than just casual conversations. You can still have those, but it goes deeper. Your emotional connections are even better, because it's not just people supporting you and encouraging you, it's people supporting, encouraging you, and driving you towards that faith in Christ and that relationship with God that really makes an impact in your life. And for us, it's really important that we gather together with people for the purpose of growing us in these three areas. And so for us, one of the key verses that I love to think about when I talk about meeting with people and gathering people comes out of Hebrews. In Hebrews, it says this, it says, and let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. So we should be concerned about other people. A fool would not be concerned. A fool would think only of themselves. But we should be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. What we say, last week we talked about what we say can either promote love or separate friends. And the idea, are we promoting love by what we're saying, what we're doing, how we're encouraging people? And it says, not staying away from our worship meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see day drawing near. So the idea here is that meeting together matters. Meeting together with people for the purpose of worshiping God, growing in their faith, that really matters. And it makes a difference for our life. It's something we should be striving to do. It's why we're all here gathered here today, is that we understand the importance of meeting together to learn more about God. Understand that our spiritual growth is directly connected to the people we're spending time with. And because of this, really, we have our third thing that we need to be doing is be intentional with the people you spend time with. You see, if we're evaluating our friendships, we're beginning to see who are we spending the time with? Are we spending time with the right people? Are being intentional with what we're doing? Is this moving us in the right direction? As we take time today to really think through who we're spending our time with, oftentimes we get caught in this routine, don't we? Our life is this busy routine. We're so busy. We got this, you got work, you got school, you got this routine, and you come home and sometimes all you want to do is just sit down, veg out in front of the TV or just kind of relax or do something like that. And sometimes we find that for us, wow, you're telling me that I need to be intentional and spend more time with other people? Maybe you do. But the idea here is that what we really need to be doing is being intentional with the time we do spend with the people. Who are we spending our time with, and what is happening in those times? For us here at the Ridge, we design things here to help us in this whole process. We believe that we are meant to belong with each other and make connections with each other. And so here on Sunday mornings at 9 and 11, we have programs for our kids, programs for our middle school students. And we really believe that if you have kids, preschool and elementary or middle school, or if you are one of those people, that it'd be really important for you to connect with other people doing those same things, to connecting with people who are going through the same stage of life. And so I encourage you to take time to check that out, maybe next week if you haven't already. Also, we have high school stuff that meets on Tuesday nights. They're kicking off their fall time. It's called Wired. It meets on August 22nd. It's going to kick off on a Tuesday night. It's at 7 o'clock. And that's a great time to really connect with other people and do some other things like that. We also have our CRC campus ministry, which if you're a college student and you're back, welcome back. Glad you're here. And hopefully you can encourage people. Next Sunday after church, there's going to be a time for you to gather together. And it's going to be a great time to make connections. So check out what the CRC Campus Ministry is doing and get plugged in with that. You're going to meet some people who are moving in the same direction, the right direction you want to be going. And also we have Mosaic and other life stage events that you can connect with here. And so if you got your program, make sure you check that out and see what's happening here and make that step. Be intentional in taking that first step to make a connection with other people. The second thing that we really want to encourage you with, and this is really the big thing that I want to really, really get us course of day, is get plugged into a group. You see, if we want to have people around us that are our close friends, that are connected with, sometimes it's hard for us to do that on our own, It's hard for us just to walk out there and go, hey, won't you connect? And won't you, it's kind of hard to do that. And so for us here, we want to help you in the process of connecting you with people either in the same place you live, the same life stage, the same night of the week you can meet, kind of that area like that. And so we want to really connect you with groups. For us, we have those in our kids' ministries and middle school ministries. They actually have groups that connect on Sunday mornings. High school, they're actually connecting groups as well as the large group time on Tuesday nights. It's a great place to do that. Our college, they have something called College Link. Will be on Sunday, August 27th. You just show up and they're going to help plug you into a group of people that you connect with, and it'll be great. But for adults, we also need that. We need that extra help. And so we have something we call GroupLink. And GroupLink is that great time that we can encourage you to learn about groups and what they are. You can begin to meet a few people, and then we'll help you in the process of connecting you in a group based upon your interest and where you are. And we're gonna work with you on that. There's no obligation if you sign up for GroupLink that you're automatically, you have to come. Yeah, there's no obligation. You can check it out. There's starter groups for 6 or 8 weeks just to see, is this the right group for me? But I want to encourage you to take that step. So in your program, you actually have an insert, and it's called GroupLink. I want to encourage you to fill that out. And even on the way out, there's a table on the way out, the two exits there. You can just plop that right in there. Or if you have more questions, you can go to the kiosk in the middle of the lobby and talk to someone there, and they'd love to answer more questions. You can also go online at theridge.church and register for this. But GroupLink is a great time to be connected with other people. It's a great time to get into a group. Whether you're looking for married couples, men's, women's, or even singles, we can begin to connect you together with people that are kind of in the same stage as life as you are. And for us, it's a pretty big deal. Because I know for most of us, if you're like me, you can feel awkward when you walk into a room and don't know people. It is a little awkward. In fact, when I was in student ministry for a lot of years, I would tell students, they'd walk in and they'd say, well, I don't know that I want to go. I don't know anybody. I said, well, here's the deal. When you walk into that room and you see those people, you are going to feel awkward. I'm like, that is normal. You're going to. It's going to happen. I promise you. Unless you're not normal, and then go in and have fun, you know? But most people, when you walk in a room and you don't know people, it feels awkward. So the great thing about it is we want to help you with that. We believe if you go 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, that awkwardness starts to go away and you develop friends. The same thing with groups and connecting that way as well. So we hopefully you'll get connected with that and fill that out we'll help you in that process. And the third way that we want you to be intentional with connecting is find a place to serve. This is the thing. When you serve alongside of someone else, your relationship with them grows immeasurably. It's amazing to know the teams we have that working in the different areas and ministries we have here, they're serving together, they connect with each other. When you serve in an area downtown or working with Christian Help or Chestnut Mountain Ranch or any of those places with other people, it makes a difference. We're gonna be helping all of our community groups find a place to serve that they can connect with and they can grow with in that way as well. And because of that, we're gonna begin to see there's just something about serving with each other. I had a chance to go to the Honduras mission trip, and you work with someone overseas for a week and spend time with them, you're gonna get to know a lot of people and you're gonna connect with them, and there's a relationship that forms, and it's really cool to see how God uses that. So if you're thinking to yourself, well, I know, maybe I'd like to serve, but you guys have everything's going on, there's probably not a place for me. The truth of it is there is. There's always a place. We want to find a place for you to be able to make a difference here at the Ridge and in the community. We want this church to be known for people who are for our community and for the people here. We want to be known for that. That's who we want to be. And we believe that you can find that place. You can check it out. You can fill out a tear-off panel. You can go online into our volunteer page and register. You can talk to someone at the info kiosk. You can ask anybody and say, hey, I want to serve. And we want to help you find that right fit at the right time in the right way, because we believe we can be a part of making a difference for people. And we want you to be a part of that too. So we think about all these things for you here. If you're somebody who hasn't started to serve yet, I encourage you to pray about that. Be intentional with that step to connect with people that way. If you're already serving, pray about, can you take another step? Maybe you could take the next step in that ministry and help a little bit more. Or the third thing, maybe you're like, I can't come anymore, I'm serving the capacity. Then maybe for you, it's saying, hey, will you invite a friend to come serve alongside of you? That's where real friendships grow in an amazing way. And you're gonna see a huge difference in your life. Because you see, when we walk alongside life with each other, we encourage each other, we help make a difference. That's why I love Proverbs 27:17. And it says this, it says, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. The idea is that we can encourage each other. We can make a difference in people's lives. We can help people move in the right direction because we have the right people around us wanting to move in that same direction. You know, for us, if we really want to do this, if we really want to make a difference in our lives, we can begin thinking about what is it we want. For instance, if you're sitting here today and you want to have a better marriage, are you spending time with people who have a great marriage? If you want to be a better parent, are you spending time with people who are great parents? If you want to be more loving, caring, and patient, are you spending time with people who are loving, caring, and patient? You know, do you want to grow spiritually to become more like Christ? Well, then are you spending time with people who also want to grow and become more like Christ? And if you are being intentional with those right friends, I'm not telling you to just dismiss the people that you're struggling with. I'm saying just make sure you make that shift and be intentional with the closest people in your life. Are they the people that are moving you in the direction that's going to take you to where you can grow in your faith? And you cover the areas of being socially and emotionally strong because of spiritual connections you have with people. I want to encourage you to make that step. Be intentional with that, and you'll see God make a big difference in your life. Because you know, the truth of it is this, is if we have the right friends, we'll head in the right direction. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for everyone that's here. Thank you, God, for your truth in this. Lord, I know that so many of us are anxious and thinking about relationships and friendships and how we can make that connection. But God, I pray that you'd help us all to come together and begin to just take that step to be bold, to be intentional with our relationships and encouraging us to encourage other people. Lord, maybe we need to be the one who's reaching out to other people and encouraging them. Whatever it is, Lord, encourage us to pursue you and to pursue those relationships with other people. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your truth. We love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.